Hi, I'm Matt Heath, and this is my friend Jeremy Wells, and welcome to our daily podcast, which we farted out sometime between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. this morning.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by MyRepublic. Even if you are listening to this courtesy of another provider, they won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits? What great New Zealanders they are.
And don't forget to subscribe, slag us off, and give us a 5-star review.
The Agenda.
Matt and Jerry's show agendas are communal conversation starters. Ring us with your opinion anytime on 0800 Hauraki.
Later, what jobs make the most cash in New Zealand soon? The Cup's coming back to Auckland, but now Dunedin's kids are scoring booze.
Dunedin police are investigating further allegations of sober drivers peddling alcohol to underage teens as more parents come forward with concerns. A 21-year-old Dunedin man has been charged with supplying a 13-year-old and a 14-year-old girl with alcohol after meeting the pair through a Dunedin Facebook page. The 21-year-old was charged on Monday and faces a maximum $2,000 fine after allegedly buying a 12-pack of RTDs, I believe they were purple goannas, from a Concord bottle store for the girls in April. Further complaint was made to Dunedin police yesterday relating to another sober driver buying alcohol for a group of 14-year-old girls last weekend.
A couple of points on this, Jerry. Firstly, of course, I grew up in Dunedin and I was rife in the purchasing alcohol underage scene back in the day. Second point, a great way to get alcohol is just at home from your parents' liquor cabinet. You don't need anyone overage to do that at all. You just go in there and then you water up the vodka. Or your water, or your tee up, tee up the whiskey. But you know, you just make some rocket fuel, sweet ass.
Oh, what you're saying is tee it up, like take a bit out of it and then chuck a bit of tea back in.
I've heard of people doing that, but I never did that because I would figure that then your dad's whiskey would taste like tea and he'd be alerted to the situation.
Yeah, well, I was very lucky growing up. I did exactly the same thing. I was very lucky because my dad was running a massive alcohol cabinet, huge.
Yeah.
Almost like a full bar set up, actually, inside of a cupboard. And he never drank a drop of spirits. He's not interested. So it was just really on offer there for my brother and I for our entire youth, which was amazing, and it wasn't until a lot later on that he realised that he'd come back, he'd do a lot of travel, he came back with a lot of bottles of duty free, he was essentially coming back with about 4 or 5 bottles a month, and they were just quietly going back out the door.
Hey, Jerry, seeing as you have, can I shoehorn in
a vaguely related personal story?
Have we got time for that?
I'm sure you can do it after this.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, The Hauraki Breakfast.
I'm forcing my kids into that.
The Factor.
So I make my kids sweep the driveway in preparation for being Olympic curlers.
What, furiously?
You're furiously running.
Sweeping.
Yeah, sweeping, yeah. Like jerking it around and just like pushing leaves back and forth.
In light of an elderly Chinese woman delaying the plane she was supposed to be travelling on after she threw coins in the plane's engine for luck. This morning in the Fact Factor, man, I want facts about luck, please.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Are you ready to play the Fact Factor?
I certainly am. I mean, you've got to say that Chinese woman's had a shitter there, hasn't she? I mean, come on. You make, as I said before, you make your own luck, and you're not making any luck by throwing coins into the planes of an engine.
Oh, that's not a good move.
No, not a good move.
All right, what's your first luck fact?
In World War II, German tank drivers in Africa would drive over camel dung for good luck. The Allies responded by planting landmines disguised as camel dung. The Germans got wind of that and began only driving over dung that already had tank trucks on it. In turn, the Allies made mines that looked like dung that had been driven over by tanks.
What a fact! That has the fact factor.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. Hey, how's that footage that we had the other day of that camel? Those camels making love on the highway in Dubai.
Yeah.
Camels.
Yeah, you know, life is a highway, though. You have to ride it all night long, yeah, as they
like,
say.
Not like that, you don't.
Well, you do.
Not like that.
Yes, you do.
What's your second luck fact?
Can I say a little something about the hopes and dreams of the Fact Factor Mega Weekly Prize Pack, Faithful, if I win today? In fact, if I win this fact, then the first person through on over 200 Hauraki wins the Fact Factor Mega Weekly Prize Pack if they congratulate me. All right.
If you win this fact?
If I win this fact, yeah.
Okay, good to know.
In medieval times, cat burning was an accepted practice thought to bring good luck. It was custom to burn a barrel full of live cats over a bonfire as people shrieked with laughter while they were roasted.
Oh, that's horrific.
Fact, you Heath. That's fact.
There's cat lovers out there who are just shocked at that sort of thing. I mean, cat burning, those beautiful cats. I mean, what did a cat ever do to any other animal?
They're arseholes.
Cats.
Well, have you heard what cats do to other cats, especially male cats do to female cats?
Cats have never done anything to any other animal. Cats are cute. Cats are cuddly. Cats are snuggly.
Tell it to a mouse.
Great song, actually. That's Jellico Cats from Cats. All right, what's your third and final luck fact?
Ah!
What?
Could have gone to the phones on that last one. Great anthem, the North Korean national anthem.
Anthem. Can we hear a bit? Oh. Makes you want to stand up and...
And,
be oppressed, doesn't it?
Stand up and go down on Kim Jong-un. In 1968, US prisoners captured by North Korea repeatedly gave their propaganda photographers the fingers in photos, claiming it was a Hawaiian good luck gesture. Time magazine published the photos with the real explanation. Word got to North Korea and the prisoners were tortured. Oh, some of them were executed.
Fact you, Heath. That's fact.
That was a fun fact. It's going along
I'm invoking my right to a lifeline. 0800 Hobonaki. One caller decides if that fact was good or bad.
Good morning, Ellie or Ali. Is it Ellie
good
or
morning.
Ali? It's Ellie. Good morning, Ellie.
Like an Ellie cat.
Ellie, like an Ellie cat. Where do you pest about, Ellie?
South Auckland.
Ellie from South Auckland. Now, before I get you to vote on whether this is a good or bad fact.
No.
Ellie from South Auckland. Hold on.
We need to stop this because this is like soliciting for votes on election day, which they stopped doing in New Zealand, which is a great thing. You've got to take down all of the hoardings, and you should have to take down the hoardings. It's only you cannot solicit situation.
Okay, I won't solicit.
No, I know you will.
I won't.
Don't you dare.
I won't. I'm just going to say to Ellie from South Auckland, if you vote this up, you win the Fat Factor Mega Weekly prize back. If you vote it down, you don't.
I have to be completely honest that that last fact I thought was quite great. The one before it was terrible, but that last fact was great.
What a fact! That has the fact factor.
Congratulations, I've won the fact factor, and Ellie, you've won the Ellie from South Auckland's won
you're
the fact factor Mega Weekly prize
back.
You're
in the pocket.
Thank you very much.
It turns out Dunedin teens getting older youths to buy alcohol for them. Who would have thought?
I mean, this is a news story that's just come out today because I guess it involves Facebook now, but it never needed to involve Facebook. Back in my day, beer was being bought constantly by older people for younger people. I mean, there was always an older brother that would go to the bottle store or something and then bring home five dozen, and who knows who that the other four dozen were going for.
Sympathetic adults.
Yeah.
Like, in my day, there'd be sympathetic adults just hanging around the outside of bottle stores. So I'd be like, I'll get you. I'll get you some beers.
I'll help you out. It's horrible to see your kids looking so sad.
As long as you're
sad.
Not on the spirits.
Yeah. Hey, that's but before I was asking if I could shoehorn in
a vaguely related personal story.
Because you were saying before that your dad ran a massive booze cabinet, right?
Yeah.
A massive booze cabinet, but didn't drink much booze.
No.
Well, my dad was a big drinker of Spates, but he was a massive buyer of Steinlager. And I don't know why, because he don't even drink Spates. But every time he went anywhere, he'd come back with a dozen Steinlagers. And as a result, they were just piling up in the garage. So where he pulled up his Commodore, just in front of it, there was dozens, like dozens and dozens. It's like, you know how hoarders, some people hoard like cans of, you know, every time they go to the supermarket, they buy cans even though they don't need them.
Yeah.
Every time my dad went out, he'd come home with more Steinlager and he'd only drink Spades. And so there was just this historic collection of Steinlagers, some of them so dusty. You know, I was going to parties with just, you'd have to wipe the dust off them before you could start drinking them. And it appears that beer doesn't expire because they were fine. I mean, I wasn't a connoisseur of beer when I was in, you know, my early teens. But they were great. And in fact, even earlier than that, I remember I was so excited about these Steinlagers because I'd see them every day and they really excited me from like a really young age, from about eight. I was always thinking about them and thinking about how I could get into them, and I'd stolen a few. They were big bots, and I'd stolen a few in the time, and then but I hadn't been able to get into them. You know, I hadn't worked out how to get into them. You know, and then finally, I took one to school when I was about nine, and me and a few of my friends managed to get into a bottle of Steinlager behind the bike sheds in the top field of Māori Hill Primary School.
So, what you needed is a bottle opener.
Yeah, it was funny. I couldn't work it out, you know. I just couldn't work it out. I mean, I don't know, maybe the beers my dad was drinking inside were screw tops. I don't know.
I guess they are sort of childproof.
Yeah. And so when we finally got into them, and me and a bunch of my friends, I think it was I think one of them was called Bubbles. But anyway, we got into them and we drank an entire, bottle of Steinlager, quite a big one, before we went to class. Drank it at Brain Break, what would be called, what was called Morning Tea back then. Now it's called Brain Break. Came back to class as a 9-year-old with a massive head of steam up.
A 9-year-old?
Because you don't have...
You were 9?
Yeah.
And you were drinking alcohol at school?
Yeah, I stole one.
Oh,
and
Jesus
I took it to school.
Christ.
But, boy, I tell you what, you don't have much of a tolerance when you're 9 because you've never drank anything before in your life.
No, you don't as a 9-year-old, generally speaking.
And I've got to say, I hated it. For me, it tasted like I was drinking. I imagined in my head it was like this. There'd been some bark left in a bath to rot for about 2 weeks and then some SodaStream fart put through it. That's what it tasted like to me.
Yeah.
And I felt terrible. And I went back to class and I sat there just feeling so terrible and so confused. I didn't know what was going on, but good, but confused. But anyway, that's why I've never drunk alcohol since.
No, I was
going
to say, it really obviously had a lasting effect on you and in so many ways. Actually, I will see your vaguely related personal anecdote. And I will raise you.
A vaguely related personal story.
I don't think we've got time for it.
Well, I think we've just got enough time.
Are you sure?
Well, strangely enough, I the same thing was happening in my family. Where, as I said, my dad was running a large, huge spirits cupboard with a lot of Galliano for some reason. He's very big on Galliano.
Well, the Galliano bottle is a very handy bottle.
It is later on. Well, I learnt that later on. But he's also running... down at we had a batch and he was running this beer fridge down there that he just kept stocking up. He never drank beer. He drank wine, red and white wine. And I didn't like red or white wine because I was a kid and no kid likes red or white wine.
No.
But he just, to his credit, he just really kept stocking this fridge up and up, and just in case people may come over at some point and there may be the need to have a party for about 40 or 50 people. And so we just sort of take them over the period of time, and I think I must have told you before, at the end of one holiday when I was about 12 or 13, I was in the garage where all the beer was, and he opened up the fridge and he's like, Jesus Christ. He's like, Jesus Christ, what happened to all this beer? He goes, people must have been coming in and steaming off the beach.
Oh, that's good.
And it's like,
that's good. That's
Jesus,
good.
You've got a 13-year-old son sitting right here. You've got a 16-year-old son sitting over there, and you think that you are such a kind father that you think they're so good that people are coming in off the beach and grabbing your beer.
The agenda.
Matt and Jerry Show Agenda is a communal conversation starter. Ring us with your opinion anytime on 0800 Hodaki during this agenda. Later, we look into Dunedin's getting on the booze when they're still kids with the help of overage people. Soon, what jobs make the most cash in Aotearoa? But now, the Cup's coming back to Auckland.
The America's Cup and its victorious owners, Team New Zealand, are due back home early next week, so plans are in the making for a big welcome. Auckland authorities are aiming for a parade on Thursday, July 6th at midday. The team might go across the harbour to the North Shore, as there's a lot of construction in Auckland's CBD currently.
Are they planning to pest up and down the Poon or something?
Well, I think they're going to... I don't know.
Although around Devonport.
Are they going to foil across there, or are they just going to fart across on a monohull?
Or on the ferry, on the Fullers.
Auckland Council hope to make Viaduct Harbour the spiritual home of the America's Cup in New Zealand. Meanwhile, it has been confirmed that Tauranga, Wellington, Christchurch and Dunedin are also trying to put together public celebrations. Hey, I've got a question for you.
Oh, yeah.
What's that name of that strip club in Dunedin with the slide in it? And the pool?
What's that got to do with the America's Cup coming back to New Zealand in a family-friendly ticker tape parade?
Oh, I'm just interested. It's sort of an aside, really.
So,
what's the name of it? Do you remember?
I know what you mean. It's in the Exchange.
It's in a strip.
Is it in the Exchange?
Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in town.
Someone, 0800 Hodaki, someone from Dunedin must know the name of that establishment.
It's not La Maison, is it?
No, it's not La Maison. What's the House of Disrepute?
It's not the Lucky Seven.
Is it a House of Disrepute? I think it's just a strip club, isn't it?
A House of Ill Repute.
Is that what you say, Ill Repute?
Mm.
House of Ill Repute.
I wouldn't think so.
Hey, do you know what's interesting, Jerry? And we'll put a pin in that and hold on to that later and see if we can get that information through to you, because I know there's a lot of people around the country really want to know what that place is. Actually, no, we have a call going through here. Good morning. You're a new caller to the show. What's your name?
Andrew.
Andrew. Are you from Dunedin?
I'm at Auckland, but I study down there.
Oh, yeah, and so do you know what this house of ill repute is?
Cool. It's definitely Lucky Seven.
It's Lucky Seven.
Oh, Lucky Seven.
So it's got a slide down into a pool, is that right?
Yeah, it burned down.
Oh, yeah. When did it burn down?
I believe it's been about 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm in repair status, so you might have to look for that information.
Ah, oh, here's an article on it in Critic.
Ah.
Called Pimps and Hoes.
Yeah.
They go together like Tina, Chris and Rihanna.
Oh, well, that's great. Thanks for your intel, Andrew. You're a great New Zealander. Have a great day. But, Drew, I think a big question is, you know, people in Auckland, of course, the Americas comes back to here. It comes to Auckland. But does the rest of the country, which has a penchant for hating Auckland, do they care that it's coming back to Auckland? Are they proud of Auckland? Are they happy for Auckland that Auckland's going to make $1.5 billion out of it? Do the rest of New Zealand care? Should we run a
snap poll?
Shall we?
Let's do that next.
All right, let's do it.
It's Matt and Jerry's penis or genius.
In light of New Zealand First changing their logo to an amazing new cutting-edge design, it's so zingy, we are debating whether NZ First leader Winston Peters is penis or genius. I will argue that Winston Peters is genius, and Jerry will argue that he is penis. You can vote on 0800 Hodaki or text PLG and a comment 23483. Jerry, you have 1 minute to argue that Winston Peters is penis, and your time starts now.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you, listeners. Once upon a time, I used to think Winston Peters was
genius.
Once upon a time, I thought that the dunny, blue-smoking, smooth-talking former First 5'8 was going to lead this country to great heights. I foresaw a New Zealand where our Prime Minister wore great double-breasted pinstripe suits, drank whiskey, and rocked sexy wrinkles like Māori chiefs in a Goldie painting. I thought that man was Winston Raymond Peters. I started following his political career when he won the seat of Honua in 1978 as a sexy, swarthy, debonair 33-year-old. What a head of hair, what a body, what a voice, what a downstairs operation. Despite the fact that I was 1 year old, I could see that he was a shining light of charm in the otherwise charisma-free zone of New Zealand politics. I wrote to him. I cut his articles out of the paper. I even had adolescent wood over him. I believed every populist nationalist word he ever uttered until the day, that is, that he formed New Zealand First. From that day on, he's been a massive, wrinkly, grey-headed
penis.
He allowed the humiliating, eye-lined, mulleted, pube-head Michael Laws into his party.
Penis.
He held the balance of power and the country to ransom for a month in our first ever MMP election in 1996.
Penis.
And he moved from Dunny Blues to B&H Classic in 2008.
Penis.
He lied about whether he remembered Owen Glenn had given him money to fund his campaign in 2005.
Penis.
And most shockingly, he stoked the political career of former One News weather presenter Brendan Horan.
Penis.
So whilst pre-1993 Winston was the best politician ever, just sitting behind Ozzie Malcolm, Mike Moore, Jim McClay and Trevor Mallard, the Winnie P of the last 24 years is a totes and arts
penis.
Although in saying that, I still like the way he drinks and smokes. Winston Peters.
Penis.
Okay, well, that was quite a lot of the P word, and I'll be taking that up with ACC head and Hodaki head Grotline after the show.
Good luck with that. And now, Matt, your minute to argue that Winston Peters is genius starts now.
The term Great New Zealander is bandied about a lot these days, but there are none greater than the great Winston J. Peters.
Genius.
Winston J. Peters was actually born Wington Ping Filterless Swang in the Xingshu province of China during the Ming Dynasty. As a two-year-old, he bought his first double-breasted suit and immigrated to New Zealand on a forged work visa. It was 1768, and the world was his oyster, so he changed his race to Māori, ran for Parliament, and won. Captain Cook was yet to land at Poverty Bay, but Winston already ruled the Bay of Plenty, sweeping into power in Tauranga on a pro-horse pesting, piss-drinking and pipe-punishing platform. He was just 71 at the time.
Genius!
He stayed the MP for Tauranga for over 300 years through thousands of confusing scandals, including Wine Box, Scampy Box and Old Lady Box. When he finally lost the seat, he didn't even care because he had MMP to fall back on, both mixed member proportional and, of course, male-male pensioner.
Genius.
Now he's on top of the world, the leader of the New Zealand First Party, a party set once again to hold the balance of power in a New Zealand election. But who else is in New Zealand First? Who knows? Winston Peter is such a punishingly charismatic wounder that no one has any need to know. Over the years, Winston has brought with him a multi-seated clown car of the lowest level politicians ever to soil the backbenches. Who will he bring this time? Who cares?
Genius.
Winston has taken the baubles of power and run with them, destroyed governments, dug tunnels, and done it all without growing an inch over 5 foot. But most of all, he has polished off more bottles of single malt and more packs of Dunny Blues than the Queen, the Pope, and your mum put together.
Genius.
In conclusion, Winston J. Peters is a dangerously handsome old parliamentary pest with a penchant for fancy suits, slamming pensioners, and smiling like a giant cat. A horse-racing, piss-drinking, gold-card-wielding winner with enough tar in his lungs to repave a Northland bridge. When everyone is dead and gone, Winston will still be here slagging off immigrants, juicing up blue rinses and drinking limp dick newcomers to the corridors of power under the table on a daily basis. Winston Peters, great New Zealander. Winston Peters.
Genius.
So I said to her, look, if you're going to do that, then do it properly. You know, don't do it half, don't go halfway. You do the full, you know. Service and then she told me to bugger off.
Absolutely. Oh, is the mic on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, you're halfway through a podcast. Listen to the rest. There's some great stuff to come.
It's Matt and Jerry's penis or genius.
Now, in light of New Zealand First changing their logo to an amazing new cutting edge design, we are celebrating whether NZ First leader Winston Peters is P or G. Let's go to the phone straight away.
Here's Glenn from Central Otago. Morning, Glenn. Welcome to the show.
Oh, morning, boys. So, despite all the dairy, scotch, and horse racing in the world, penis.
Oh, really? Hey, how frosty is it in Central Otago this morning, Glenn?
Ridiculously frosty and cloud on top of frost.
Oh, really? Because that's the great thing about Central Otago, frosty but clear. The best.
It's going to burn off, but yeah.
The best air in the country.
Oh, she'll burn off. She'll burn off.
Where particularly in Central Otago are you, Glenn?
Roxburgh.
Beautiful Roxburgh.
Home of the...
the fruit bowl of the south.
Home of the fruit.
The fruit bowl of the south. Mate, it's all fruit and sheep and Vanuatu and fruit pickers down here, mate.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
What a sexy combination. Here's Alex Gregory from Morning, Alex.
Bloom. How you going?
Good, thanks. How does Bloom feel about Winston Peters?
I don't know myself. I reckon he's a genius. Gold cards and all for the genuine Kiwis.
There you go. Boom. Thank you, Alex from Blim.
You know, running a good line of Caucasianism down there in Blim.
Blim.
Here's Royce from the Manawatu. Morning, Royce.
G'day, Jerry.
Royce, P or G, Winston Peters?
We're going with a P on the back of that argument. I always thought he was a genius, but that was just a superb argument, Jerry.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
I was going to change your name to Rolls-Royce, Royce from the Manawatu, but now I'm just going to keep it at Royce.
He's a very, very good New Zealander. Interestingly, a lot of people supporting me as well on the text machine. Winston is P. He won't throw any shapes or listen to Sandstorm.
Hey, well, that you don't know that for sure. Because I know he rang up earlier asking for Darude tickets, and I don't know if he's going to throw some shapes, and he might be out the back smoking a B&H Classic, but he's definitely wants to be there when the Sandstorm drops.
You'll see Winston doing a waltz or a foxtrot, but you won't see him doing Small Fish, Big Fish, Cardboard Box.
Genius, Jerry is in the pocket of fake news.
Maybe. Penis, the most boomed of all baby boomers.
Genius, Winnie is the future.
Oh, is that right? G, anyone who calls other politicians turkeys is a winner in my book.
P, his face looks like a ball bag. I mean, I wouldn't have read that out if I'd read it first. Just, you know, when sometimes you start a sentence and you sort of half see the end of it, but you keep going.
Genius, Northland needs more bridges.
That's absolutely right. G, some of your best work there, Matt. Okay. All right.
There's one more vote here. Look. There's another.
The votes have been counted. The people of Hauraki have spoken, and Winston Peters will be joining Telling the Truth, Elections, Human Rights, King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia, and the Moon on the Penis Side of the Hauraki Breakfast PLG Coldy Plaque.
Thank you, listeners.
That's not fair. Well, I love winning. People that voted against him have never had a beer with him. Winston Peters, you have been voted penis. May you die alone in shame and infamy before burning in hell for all eternity, tormented by the devil
Jesus
himself.
Jesus Christ, that's a bit rough.
You've been out on the source with Winnie. He's a great New Zealander.
Jesus,
Jerry.
I thought so, but
Jerry, you've been out on the source with Winnie.
As I said, I used to have a massive white on, but
admit
recent times.
The agenda.
Matt and Jerry Show Agenda is a communal conversation starter. Ring us with your opinion anytime on 0800 Hodaki during an agenda. Later, the Cup's coming back to AK. Soon, Dunna's kids scoring booze. We won't be going back to that, actually. I'm sick of that one. But now, what jobs make the most cash, Sherry?
A government-owned website has laid out the top and bottom-paying jobs in New Zealand that are listed on Trade Me, according to Careers NZ. Many of the highest-paying jobs appear to be within the information technology sector, Matt, while the lowest include retail and hospitality. The lists are based on the median salaries for jobs advertised on the job-seeking site in 2017.
Top five highest paying jobs, Jerry. Information architects, IT, 135,000 median. Data warehousing and business intelligence, that's also IT, 15,000. Cyber security specialist, 105,000. Construction project and contract management, 105,000. IT sales, 105,000. But you're only getting about bloody 33,000 to be a housekeeper. Or kitchen staff, 32. Barista, 33. Retail assistant, 33. Assistant store managers, 35. Couple of points on this, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
What's an information architect for a start? And also, obviously, Mike Kosking isn't advertising his job, so imagine he gets paid more than $135,000 a year. I mean, that's median.
Does he?
The median.
Does he?
Median.
Does he?
So obviously some people are getting paid more. But does anyone out there know what an information architect is?
Well, look, I believe that it's got nothing to do with architecture.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's designing information systems inside of computers.
Is there anyone out there on 0800 Hodaki, 0800 428 who is an information architect? I'd love to hear from, because my understanding of the type of people that would be an information architect, so they'd be real zingers, real humdingers, real go-getters. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Are you an information architect?
No, slightly off topic, but I just want to say I'm thrilled and honoured to have been able to rename Johnny Scroat.
Mm. Oh, is that you, Ken?
Yeah.
Ken again.
And he's welcome to rename me from Ken again if he ever feels he needs to. Even John from Gore can rename me as well. He's a great Kiwi, great New Zealander.
Do you know what happened yesterday, Ken again? We finished the show and we thought, what a great show. We've done a real service. We've renamed a man who didn't like his name on our show. Come on here. John. And we've renamed Johnny Scroat. But we got out there and we got called over the coals by ACC Head and Hodaki Head Drought Lane, didn't we, Jeremy? He said, you don't need to be mentioning that particular sexual disease. He counted us saying that word 250 times between 7 and 8 a.m. yesterday. He said that was too much.
His point was this, again. His point was that there are kids in cars and they're going to have to be asking their parents what that particular word is. And I'm not going to use that word again. It starts with C. It starts with clum and ends with idiot.
Well, what if I spell it out? Well, I could do the symptoms. Maybe I'll describe the symptoms and then we don't actually have to say the word. White, cloudy or watery discharge.
Oh, Jesus, no, look.
From the tip, pain, discomfort or burning sensation when urinating, inflammation, tenderness and pain in around the downstairs operation.
Well, maybe what you've done there is you've actually solved a problem, Matt, because maybe we just need to explain to kids who are driving in cars now, rather than their parents having to explain what the word starting with clim and ending in idia actually is.
C-H-L-A-M-Y-D-I-A. Because kids can't spell that.
No, I can't either. It's a very hard word to spell, the word starting with clim and ending in idia.
But he was right, and that's why we're not going to talk about it today. Ken again. But it was great to have Johnny Scroat out.
Snap poll.
Best of five decides it. In light of the America's Cup coming back to Auckland, are people from the rest of the country supportive? I mean, we're going to make $1.5 billion up here, and we're already the richest and most populous city, you know. The rest of the country supportive, because they're not always supportive of Auckland, Jerry. I know that my family down in Dunedin often take the mickey out of me for living in Auckland.
Here's Jake's from Hamilton. Jake's, what's your view?
Oh, look, we've got an alternative proposal because Auckland sort of gets everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our guys have been quite favoured in light winds.
Yeah.
And Hamilton is actually renowned for being, of all the major areas of populous in New Zealand, the one with the lowest average wind speed.
That's right, and the most humidity.
Mm-hmm.
And the most humidity. And we have a beautiful Lake Rotoroa at the Hamilton Lake Domain.
Oh, beautiful, yeah.
Well known. I learned to sail an optimist. Well, I tried to learn to sail an optimist there when I was about 12, but I got a bit scared, and I discovered sailing wasn't for me. I was a bit more of a spectator.
Well, I got duck itch from that same lake once.
Yeah, it's actually got worse and worse over time. The duck problem there. You don't want to fall out of the boat. It's a health problem.
Hey, Jake's from Hams though. You guys are getting the sevens now though.
This is true, but you know we're coming of age as a city, so I think we're going to get more and more major events.
Okay, so we're in the lake and Hams. Okay, so I'll put that as not supportive.
Not supportive.
Not supportive from Hams. Thanks, you're cool. Let's go to Wellington with AJ. What a great New Zealander. Is the good people of Wellington supportive of the America's Cup coming to Auckland?
Well, I think that maybe we could have some kind of a stage, sort of a series, where they sailed around the country having stages in all the different harbours. I think Wellington in particular would be a great place to see some potential carnage. Maybe if you get that 120k northwesterly whipping through.
Jeez, that's
get up on the foils.
That northerly.
Get up on the foils, then get up about 100. Get about a 2Ks in the air and they get dumped on your ass and everyone dies kind of situation.
Yeah,
is that what
exactly,
you're suggesting,
exactly.
For a windy city, you would have to say, AJ, for a windy city, Wellington, is not a lot of sailing going on for some reason. You don't see a lot
of
yachts.
No, not a lot of sailing. We tend, it's sort of, you get the extremes. It's either dead still or 100Ks.
Quite exactly.
What if they, Grant Dalton gets to make the rules? So what if it's just ferries instead of yachts? And you have to sail
have
one of the...
We've got the east-west ferry, which has been testing across there for years. So we've got all the experience there.
So syndicates have to take an already existing ferry and race in it across to Picton.
You could probably rig up one of those inter-islanders.
Are you talking about like Arateca versus the Arahura?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, the Arateca versus the Arahura. On the Arateca.
Well, they're talking about trying to take some of the cost out of the America's Cup. And then you've got the Arateca and you've got to crew that thing and get it across on 7 metre swells.
No engines, you've got to hoist a mainsail. Get it over there, get your spinnakers right. I tell you what, that's too unsupportive so far.
Yeah. Here's Danny on the work phone. Morning, Danny.
Morning, Danny. Well, boys, how you doing?
Good, thank you. How's the bills on the work phone going? Of course, ringing 0800 Hodaki is a free call, so that doesn't matter.
How's your guys' bills going with me ringing all the time?
Oh, tell you what, we've been hauled across the colds by ACC Head and now Hodaki Head Grot Lane because he's got no money left at all after spending it all on 400 Darude tickets, but that's another issue. Danny on the work phone, are you supportive?
Good on him. Supportive of it coming back to New Zealand. I wouldn't mind doing the old one in Dunedin, one in Wellington, one in Auckland, and I don't know, one in the Cook Strait or something, I'm not sure.
Well, tell you what, my dad's often pesting around the harbour in Dunedin on his boat. He's a keen sailor, and we get some good sailing out there, actually.
I thought you were going to say he's a keen pest there for a second.
No, I wouldn't say that about my dad, no. We actually pest up around Lake Mahingarangi. Mahingarangi?
Mahingarangi Forbes.
Yeah, man, like Mahingarangi Forbes.
Wow.
Some good sailing up there, I tell you.
Here's Fern. Morning, Fern.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Good, thanks, Fern.
The native New Zealand Fern.
Yeah, man. Hey, we're in the Waikato way, but I'd like to see Tauranga have the America's Cup when it comes. I think it'd be good to have it over there for those guys.
Out of the Mount?
Yeah, yeah.
Out of the Mount.
I tell you what, Fern, they've got everything nowadays. The Mount.
I tell you, I would be supportive of that, Fern, but I got the worst sunburn. I was sitting in that big, black, inflatable downstairs operation on that beach, Jerry. You know what happened to me there, didn't you?
Yeah. I saw the results. Matt got one of the worst burns I've ever seen on the history of a person. It's a classic South Island burn. It's the kind of day that you could spend about 3 hours in the South Island in the sun. But
in a black lounge lizard.
In a black lounge lizard by the beach at the Mounts, you're just going to come up.
Fern, can you guarantee that other people that have got dangerously white legs won't get horrendous debilitating burns if they sit in a black lounge lizard during this America's Cup at the Mount?
Well, it could put a whole lot of osh warning signs up on the beach about the severity of the sun, and I think they would probably take care of that side of things for us, eh? Comebacks on us.
Shall I put you under unsupportive? There you go. Jeremy Wells gets very excited about incredible stories from around the world. One caller on 0800 Hauraki decides if the story that is about to come up is incredible or not. So ring now.
Drug-addicted parrots are locked in a vicious feud with Indian farmers as the birds plunder poppy fields for the next opium fix. The parrots perch and wait while farm workers slit open flower pods to help the morphine-rich crop ripen. The birds have learnt not to squawk during their raids so as not to attract attention. Footage shows them heading back to the safety of the high branches to enjoy their haul, where they will often sleep for hours after an opium feast and occasionally fall to their death in a dazed stupor. Farmers say they have tried beating drums and even exploding firecrackers to scare the birds off, but they love their smack.
Wow, yeah, but I mean, smack, it'd be better to have them on smack than on, like, methamphetamine or something. Imagine imagine parrots on methamphetamine, because parrots are squawky, nasty animals at the best of times.
What's amazing is that these parrots, these smack parrots, these junkie parrots are still breeding.
Right.
I'm fascinated by that because the same thing as methamphetamine. If you had a whole flock of parrots that were on methamphetamine, they'd end up just probably turning on each other, cutting each other's claws off and doing some horrific crimes and probably not breeding because they were just so focused on doing things to each other.
Well, normally when you go back to a smackhead's house, they've got like a mattress, like one mattress on the floor with no blankies and nothing on the wall. And certainly no ladies coming home with them.
No. Good morning. You're a new caller to the show. Welcome along. You've decided to weigh in on junkie parrots.
Yeah, g'day. It's Reese with the medium-sized downstairs operation, Big Head. Calling off the work phone this morning.
G'day, Reese with the medium-sized downstairs operation, Big Head, calling from the work phone.
Yeah, I'd have to say that's incredible, Jerry. Like, Matt, I'm quite partial to a slight bit of opiate abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And if the parrots are all for it, I'm all for it, I say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, why should the parrots be ruled out of the opiate abuse just because they're from the animal kingdom?
Yeah, well, I guess the next thing that will happen will be a whole lot of addicted tuis to tramadol who just go into hospitals and attack tramadols, trying to take those tramadols away.
Low-level opiate abuse.
They can stay away from my trams, those bloody tuis, that's for sure.
Oi.
Thanks for your call, Reese.
Thanks for sitting through another Matt and Jerry show on Radio Hauraki.
This podcast was brought to you by our bloody great mates at MyRepublic, the internet service provider that knows no limits. And when you sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code PODCAST, you will get 1 month free on top of what's already a bloody great deal.
MyRepublic. Like us at times, they know no limits.